a receptionist is standing at her desk in a large hospital. Suddenly, a guy wearing a hospital gown is running down the corridor towards the exit door. She stops the guy and says, "Sir, what's the matter?" The guy pauses and says, "I heard my nurse say, 'Don't worry, it's a very simple operation. I'm sure it will be all right.'" The receptionist stares at him and says, "She's trying to comfort you. What's so frightening about that?" The guy replies, "She wasn't talking to me. She was talking to the surgeon." This joke is not likely an attempted commentary on today's state of medicine. What it really wants to highlight is people's propensity to worry, to be fearful of so many things, rationally or more often irrationally. This is so obviously true. The best recent large-scale example of that is the lemming-like herd behavior of most of the world when it faced the COVID-19 pandemic. Undoubtedly the most asinine, ridiculous behavior then in America that will go down in the history books is the totally irrational run on toilet paper, running up prices to near the levels of solid gold, $500 a roll or more. What insanity! But unfortunately, far too many of our fellow citizens and illegal aliens are unable to function as rational human beings. But there is a remedy. That remedy is to realize that there is a source of truth, unchangeable, immutable, more solid than rock, that will never suffer any degradation or alteration for all time. And then to put one's trust in that source of truth, learning along the way that that source is not only the beginning and ending of truth itself, but also the origin of all life and existence, of all that is good, perfect, beautiful, and loving. And that same source created each and every one of us, and that for us to properly function and truly enjoy our lives requires us to join ourselves with the source as he always intended and designed us so to do. For without him, we are no better than people who spent $500 for a roll of TP. But far too many people out there erroneously claim that they believe and know God, who is the source of all life, being, light, love, goodness, and truth. Such people end up improperly joined to the vine of eternal life. Not fully connected, with intermittent connectivity, they spark on and off, sometimes discovering some truth about life, while at other times seeing only a warped, blurred image of what's actually real, but, poor souls, they think is real. To a large extent blinded in some area of life or other by the devil, they think they're right about everything when they lack the humility to acknowledge that they just might be just a tad bit off in some aspect or some issue of life and existence regarding what we all face as human beings living on this earth. So it's clear that in joining ourselves with God, as he always intended from the very beginning when he first created Adam, humility is indispensable. Not only humility before God, but also before our fellow man. We are never to lord it over other people. But as the one and only Lord, our Commander-in-Chief, our Savior ordered us, we must be the servants of all. For though he is the very creator and king and potentate of all the universe, of absolutely everything that has ever been and ever will be, he humbled himself inconceivably to our level, actually becoming one of us, yes, a human being, also that he could pay the death penalty for our sin on our behalf. He took the rap also we could go scot-free. All we have to do is repent and give our lives to Him. This is the joining of ourselves to Him, not unlike the joining of husbands and wives, which Christ Jesus said is a great mystery, which serves as a metaphor for God's desire to live eternally with His very highest, most beloved creatures, us. Now think, if we are joined with Him who is the creator and author of all life and liberty, the one who sustains all that is, on whose back the entire cosmos, all the trillions and trillions of galaxies and the gazillions of stars, way beyond what we puny humans can even conceive, rests and never once misses a beat, then what in heaven's name are we afraid of? Consider how God, in His written word, left for our constant reference, tells us not once, not twice, but 103 times to fear not, not be afraid. As Paul was led to write in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? The matter is definitely settled once and for all. But if we find it hard to not be afraid, does that not indicate that our faith is not 100% in God alone? If our faith is not completely and totally 100% in God, then where or on whom is the rest of our faith? Why, if you can name one person alive today who has 100% of their faith in God alone, I can sell you the Eads Bridge downtown at a huge discount so that you can make an enormous return on your investment. I can take applications as soon as worship is over today. For the answer is, no one alive has perfect faith. Only one man in all of history had perfect faith and was sinless, of course, was our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus the Christ. There were two others that might come to mind who came so close to having perfect faith near the end of their earthly lives that they were in such sync, such union with God, that God miraculously translated them into heaven with Himself without them ever facing physical death on this earth. The Bible records them as Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, and much later, Elijah, who went up to heaven in a whirlwind of fiery chariots, as Elisha recorded what he saw. As great a man of faith as Moses was, he died here on earth, though given a high honor by God, for God Himself buried his body in a place known only to God on Mount Nebo, on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Abraham, whom the Bible calls the father of faith, also died in the Holy Land. Suffice it to say that everyone dies. But the time is coming very soon when millions of us will bypass physical death because the time of this age is rapidly coming to an end. God will wrap up this age of grace when Lord Jesus will return in the clouds and call up to Himself, resurrecting the bodies of all who have died in Him over the last thousands of years. And then instantaneously, those of us who are still alive, living in Him by vibrant faith, will also be called upwards to be with Him forever and ever. This is the soon coming rapture of the church. Since God is truth itself, we should automatically not only know that we can put 100% of our faith in Him, but actually do it without even thinking about it. But human beings still want to put at least some of our faith in ourselves. This is called the pride of life. We want to be independent of others. We want to do things ourselves. We think that it's a good thing to struggle through life, always doing everything ourselves. When God has put all around us people, His people, to help us to mutually serve each other, to make it easier for us to get through life's difficulties, its trials and temptations. We are meant to be only parts of God's body. How can we arrogantly think that we can live without the other parts of the body? We are each members of the church, but we cannot function without each other, depending on each other, helping each other, serving each other. Consider God's chosen people, the Jews. He has given us in his written word the ironclad promises, some of which we read in Jeremiah 33 today. He will never, ever break his covenant with them. Even though they broke it repeatedly, he remains faithful even when we are not. Verses 14 through 16 declare, "The time is coming when I will fulfill the gracious promise of good things to come that I made to the people of Israel and Judah. At that time I will cause a righteous branch to sprout from David's lineage, and he will administer justice and righteousness in the land. Under his rule, Judah will triumph and Jerusalem will live in safety. And the city will be called Adonai is our righteousness." When Jeremiah took that dictation from Holy Spirit about 2,600 years ago, we've already seen the fulfillment of the righteous branch coming forth, being born of the Virgin Mary some 600 years after Jeremiah's prophecy. But Jeremiah's prophecy speaks of eras of time even in our own future. For Lord Jesus has not yet begun to fully administer justice and righteousness in the land. His return will happen soon, when many of us will still be alive to see it. When our Lord answered the disciples' questions about the future, he told them, that is us, in Luke 21:25, to expect to witness amazing and perplexing signs with the sun, the moon, and the stars. He went on in verse 26, "What men see coming to the earth will cause the fear of doom to grip their hearts." And are we seeing the signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars? The recent eclipses, the near miss of an asteroid coming in 2029, closer than many of our satellites, the signs of God's protection of Israel in the current war, all these point to his soon return. Even in war, the Jews are still returning to Israel in even greater numbers, flocking to a war zone. They are now more united than they've been in centuries. God is working, joining the true Christians to them. The Jews are receiving supernatural faith, fearless faith. God's signs do not lie. So, Christian folks, be faithful, not fearful. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the warnings and instructions that you gave to your disciples, to us, about the coming days that, for us, are so close by. Help us to live in faith, 100% of our faith in you, regardless of what we see around us. May we know that you are for us, and if you are for us, nothing and no one can be against us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus, praising you forever. Amen.